Hey, man, what's happening? I think I'm in the right place. I've never been to Transylvania before.
I bid you welcome.
Thanks, dude. Listen, damn, are you pale? You need to get some sun, brother. Seriously. Hey, listen, I'm looking for a Chef Count Dracula. I'm supposed to do an interview for my show on hot monster chefs and alternative foods, and he invited me to his Halloween party. Is this the right place?
I am Dracula.
Oh, it's you! Awesome! Hey, dude, nice to meet you. Hey, listen, my name is Phil, and I do a podcast called My Life as a Foodie. And I hear you're really big into cooking with blood and stuff.
Listen to them. Children of the night. What music they make.
Music? Dude, that was nasty. What kind of music? Hey, wait a minute. Who is that over there? Dude, is that Paula Deen?
We're going to add a little something different, though, to our mix. We're going to start with an 8-ounce package of cream cheese and a stick of butter that's been brought to room temperature.
The spider spinning his web for the unwary fly. The blood is the light.
Don't change the subject, asshole. That's Paula Deen. What the hell is she doing here? I'd hope she'd fall off the Food Network radar sooner or later, but I didn't expect to see her at your party. All the way here? I wouldn't say I wish her dead or nothing, but, you know, it's just not on the air anymore because she's annoying the shit out of me.
She will live through the centuries to come, as I have lived.
Get the fuck out of here. She's not living. Dude, well, hold on. What did you say your name was again?
I'm Count Dracula.
Jesus Christ, you're a vampire. You're that Count Dracula.
For one who has not lived even a single lifetime, you are a wise man.
Brother, please tell me you didn't bite Paula Deen. I will do anything to stop you from biting her. I can't live with that woman for the rest of my life.
You are too late. My blood now flows through her veins.
Motherfucker. Dude, seriously, I'm going to kill you.
Now that you have learned what you have learned, it would be well for you to return to your own country.
You're not kidding, but I don't think I want to live the rest of my life if she's going to be on food television forever. Did you hear that now she's trying to whore herself out by marketing a line of fresh fruits and vegetables? A line of fresh fruits and vegetables. Last time I checked, that was called farming. I don't know how people continue to buy into her shit, man. Seriously, I can't stand her.
Your will is strong.
And so's your breath. Dude, what the hell have you been eating? Wait, don't tell me. I don't want to know. Ugh, you had your mouth all over Paula Deen tonight.
And now, I'll leave.
Don't worry about it. I'm going to go home now and hang myself. This is the worst Halloween party ever.
Until I feel the time is right. I am in control. I pay close attention to the details. Enjoy the show. Throughout motion picture history, audiences have been terrified by the likes of Freddy Krueger, Jason Voorhees, and Michael Myers. But no one can prepare themselves for the new face of horror. This Halloween, Paula Deen is the Widowmaker.
In they go?
Yes.
So let's come down here and put our sandwiches together. You want to?
I do.
We've got English muffins, buns, and look here what I got.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Donuts.
Oh, yes, I do.
You're brilliant.
So what do you think?
I think we should go supreme with the donuts.
Okay? I'm game if you are.
Are you game or lame?
I'm game, honey. All right, so we got our burger. We got our egg.
Yes, sir.
We got a couple of pieces of bacon. We're going to have our sweet and our savory.
Yes.
The girls are probably going to see this and say, y'all are out of your crazy minds.
Will you stop it? Are you out of your mind?
You ready?
This Halloween, Paula Deen is the Widowmaker.
Whoa, what was that, dude? That was weird, man. I swear to God, I just felt a cold breeze in here. I'm not kidding. I got all the windows and doors closed here in the studio. I don't know what the hell that was. That's crazy. This is crazy, man. What a day. This has been one of the strangest shows today. I mean it. Things just haven't felt right. I'm having equipment problems. I'm missing some audio I told you about earlier. I don't know what the hell happened to that stuff. I lost my breath more than once here. I'm not doing anything different. Unless I'm losing it or something, who knows? The footsteps thing won't stop. What is that? All right, anyway, let's get to our last audio clue for this year's Halloween contest. You guys know the rules. This one should be pretty simple. And yes, there are two different movies that will have the same answer. All right? So you got to think of two separate items for each. All right, do some homework. Google is your friend.
You killed the wolf.
Well, there's no crime in that, is there?
The wolf was Balaam.
You think I don't know the difference between a wolf and a man?
Balaam became a wolf, and you killed him. A werewolf can be killed only with a silver bullet, or a silver knife, or a stick with a silver handle.
You know, I know why this episode hasn't been going the way it should have. I forgot a main ingredient. Let's have a beer. This should be available nationwide to you guys, what I'm having today. You should have no problem getting this if you want to try it. I'm having this year's release of Stone's Vertical Epic, 10-10-10. If you don't know what Vertical Epic series is, it's something Stone Brewing here in San Diego. They started it in 2002. Every year, on the month and day that contains the same numerical equivalent of the year, Stone releases a beer that uses a specific recipe only for that year. They never make the same beer, always specific for that year. The first one was released February 2nd, 2002. So it was 02, 02, 02. The second one was released on March 3rd of 2003. You get it? So they've done one a year since 2002, and they're going to continue releasing these beers through 2012. The goal is to collect these beers so you have at least one from each year until the last one is released. Then you have a vertical tasting party. You start with 2002 or 2012, and then you work your way either up from there or down from there. Now, they never produce the same beer twice. Each recipe is distinct for that year, and they've always been riffs on Belgian styles. This year's beer is a Belgian pale ale. Stone used the legendary Ardennes strain of Belgian yeast. They brewed it with pale malt and triticale, which is a cross between wheat and rye. I probably said that wrong. Anyway, they hopped the beer with German pearl hops and steeped it with chamomile. during the whirlpool stage. You know, whirlpool is the stage at the end of the boil. You create a giant whirlpool in the boil kettle, so all of the hops and the trub, the stuff that you don't want to, in your finished beer, works their way into the middle of the pot, so it doesn't end up in the fermentation vessel when they open the bottom of the kettle and they transfer the beer for, you know, primary fermentation. So after primary fermentation is over, they rack the beer into secondary fermentation, which is where the beer clears and settles even further. They added a juice blend of Muscat, Gewürztraminer, and Sauvignon Blanc grapes. So the beer is not quite wine, but it's got that traditional sweet kick from these grapes. I'm not a huge sweet wine fan, so I tend to stay away from Gewürztraminer and Moscato. Dessert wines, just, they're not my thing. But I really like this beer. It's very strong. It's I don't know if it's 9.5% alcohol, but it tastes stronger. Maybe it's because of the grape juice. It tastes like a cross between a golden ale and a Saison. And it's got a sweet grape juice flavor. Really, it's got this third dimension to it that makes it really special. Nice hop nose, too. You can smell it. You can taste it. It's tangy when you take that first sip. I don't know if it's the carbonation or the hops. The carbonation is a little strong. It settles down after a while, though. It's pretty common. For some golden ales tend to be, you know, highly carbonated. The additional sugar from the grape juice just kind of adds to that. All right, so check this out. You know something? I'm always late to the party. Maybe I'm a little thick. I'm really late to this party. Most of you probably already knew this, but I'm just learning about it. Kat Cora, pretty attractive, right? Iron Chef, really talented, kind of cute. Kind of looks like Maria Bello, a little bit. Well, guess what? She's a lesbian. I knew she was married. I didn't know she was married to a chick, and a hot one. Holy Moses. I read this article, dude. Kat Cora went from a 7 to a 9.5 instantly. Iron Chef Kat Cora and her partner have figured out a way to maximize their birth output. The Food Network star and her lesbian partner Jennifer are both pregnant, with due dates only 3 months apart. It was announced Monday, March 9th. The couple already has two sons, Zoran, that's a lesbian planet. Zoran, 5, and Kaji, 23 months together. Holy Moses, what kind of names are these? Zoran and Kaji? Jesus. Jennifer and I are thrilled to go through the wonderful experience of pregnancy together. We started the in vitro process 5 years ago, says Cora, 41, in a statement. This has been a miracle for us, and now we'll have four beautiful children. Kat Cora with another chick. Dude, it doesn't get any hotter than that. A la cuisine, indeed. This whole thing is apparently old news, man, because this happened last year. Together for nearly 10 years, the Coras share a unique family story in which both women have carried the other's biological child. Kat's pregnancy is a result of in vitro fertilization with Jennifer's embryo. The couple's sons, ages 5 years and 23 months, were both carried by Jennifer. She was artificially inseminated for her first pregnancy, but the second one she carried to term using Kat's embryo. In Jennifer's current pregnancy, both women's embryos were implanted, so the biological mother is unknown. They do not plan to conduct DNA testing to determine the baby's biological mother. So, apparently, not only is Cora a chef in the kitchen, she's dicking around with embryos and mixing DNA in her own body. Holy crap! Talk about a secret ingredient! Nobody knows who the real mother's going to be? And hey, what the hell is with this? Zoran and Kaji? These are, what kind of names are these? You know, kids can be cruel. Don't give them names like that. I mean, you ever been on a playground? That's not a friendly place. Okay, well, that's it. Sorry for the technical issues. I'll get this thing straightened out by next episode. I have no idea what's going on. It's just been a crazy, crazy day. Whoa! Did you hear that? Ugh. I gotta end this. Don't forget, next month, Dude Food returns with the Italian sausage episode. In fact, November is going to be an exciting month. We're going to do what I call it the Guinea Trilogy. I've got a video, the Dude Food Sausage Party episode. We're going to do a blog post. It's coming up on my experience making mozzarella. And then the next podcast that I do is going to focus on Italian food and Italian-American culture. And I've even got a special game planned for that one, so don't miss that. Thanks again for tuning in. Until next time, my name is Phil. And this has been The Life of the Foodie. I don't know if you saw this piece on the site last week. It was from a guest blogger on MyLifeAsAFoodie.com. sent me a piece in the mail and said, email, and said, look, if you'd like to put this on the site anonymously, feel free. And it was a really good piece, so I posted it. It was about Walmart. And it comes from a person I respect highly as a foodie, a food snob, someone who can do a lot with a little, someone who opens a refrigerator, sees what's in there, and makes dinner, no matter what. When money becomes an issue, where do you shop? Right? You certainly don't go out as often, and you eat at home, right? If you recall, Fresh and Easy is a store that we talked about quite a bit here in the past. They started setting up their stores in low-rent districts to bring fresh produce to the masses, usually where fast food restaurants used to be. Apparently, eating local produce is getting very trendy, because one of my Twitter pals, AudioFan2, big shout out to him, he listens to the show, and I want to thank him for this. He posted a link to this article on Twitter. He tweeted the link. Walmart Stores Incorporated says that it will double its sale of locally sourced produce in the U.S. by the end of 2015. The move by the world's largest retailer is part of a new sustainable agriculture strategy that looks to steer more business to small and medium-sized farmers globally, while also reducing farming's environmental impact. Walmart plans to buy more of select U.S. crops. It also anticipates providing training to 1 million farmers and farm workers in emerging markets and selling $1 billion in food sourced from 1 million small and medium-sized farmers. Walmart says it will start asking suppliers about water, energy, fertilizer, and pesticide used per unit of food produced. The retailer also wants to lower food waste at its stores. Now, I wonder, how does this sit with you? On one hand, I don't trust Walmart any further than I can throw them. You know, they've made a living cutting corners, pushing companies out of business, lowballing just about everybody, including their employees. And now I'm supposed to trust them to deal with farmers fairly? You know, what about the segment in Food Inc., right? Where they showed buyers for Walmart showing up at this farm. They produced organic yogurt. The people from Walmart said that if their customers demand something, they'll put it in their market. Their customers demanded organic yogurt, so they started providing it. So are their customers demanding fresh local fruits and vegetables? Seriously, are they? Or is Walmart simply latching on to the new popular trend? Thanks to, you know, people like us. Who are we supposed to believe here? And will Walmart end up squeezing these farmers? Using tricky contractual obligation clauses, things like that. And will they deal with Monsanto? That's another question. Monsanto's on the ropes. Monsanto needs help. Nobody knows. Interesting story. It'll be interesting to follow this. But I wonder how much of a demand the people of Walmart are really bringing to the table. I've seen these people. They're not exactly the same kinds of people that I see shopping at the farmer's market on weekends. Is the demand that great at Walmart, or is Walmart simply latching onto a trend? And if that's the case, because I know organic is a trend, if that's the case, I'm going to throw up in my mouth a little bit. All right, time for another clip. And remember, these don't have to be in order, okay? Just give me the necessary information. No order is really necessary here. I just want the answers, because there's not a whole lot of these.
It is bad to be alone.
Alone. Bad. Friend. Good. Friend.
I don't know what we were listening to.
Okay, well, okay, Andy Roberts is here to explain it. You are the Ghostbuster in chief.
Or at least a ghost hunter, because you're not busting the ghosts, right?
Right. Sure, exactly.
The ghosts can live on. You just want to see them and hear them.
Absolutely, absolutely. Basically what we do, we go to haunted locations in and around the metro Atlanta area. We're based here in Atlanta, and we listen to the claims of paranormal activity that homeowners and business owners are experiencing in their properties. And we bring in a full line of equipment. We're into the science of what's going on during a haunting to try and really determine if what they're experiencing is real and can be identified and to determine what it was.
And that was paranormal activity.
That particular clip that we just listened to just a moment ago was actually in a completely vacant house.
Uh-huh.
Now, this particular house, we know that back in 1944, a school teacher who was actually a music teacher committed suicide in this house. There is no piano in that house anywhere. And if you heard in that clip, you actually heard the sound of a piano playing. Now, the interesting thing about what we do is 95% of the time when we're doing these investigations, you have no idea that you've ever captured these, mainly it's voices, and that's the first time we've ever captured an instrument. But we capture these voices on simple voice recorders. Pick them up at any electronic store. We'll conduct our investigation, and we actually go back and listen to all the audio that we recorded, and somehow these voices, and in this case, an instrument, embed themselves onto the recording device, and it is absolutely the most amazing thing I've ever experienced in my entire life.
What else do you have here, Andy?
All right, so some of the other tools that we've got our night vision cameras. We've got it hooked up to an infrared system, so we can turn all the lights off in the house, see if there's any movement in the property. We put trigger objects down a lot of the times, and we'll ask the spirits or whatever these things are to move that object. Unfortunately, that hasn't happened yet, but we certainly have captured hundreds of different voices, and we've got some more voices if you guys want to play some of them.
Voices. What is this thing?
Yeah, this particular instrument right here is what's known as an electromagnetic frequency detector. And basically what it does is it picks up fluctuations in the electromagnetic field that the Earth actually puts off itself. We're into the science of this. You know, can we prove or disprove that the activity in your home that you're experiencing or business that you're experiencing is real or not? So we don't really try and rid the properties of the spirits. That's something far beyond what I think we're capable of doing. But
you're not exorcists.
No, we're not. We don't really get into that aspect of paranormal research. Our investigations really try to figure out what these things are and can we really open up a form of communication. And from we began our organization back in 2004, so we've been doing this coming up now in 5 years.
Did you always believe in ghosts? Were you always fascinated by this?
I had plenty of personal experiences. Actually, something kind of began back in 1991 in my personal life. It's unfortunately kind of attached itself to me ever since. I have things happen in my own home.
Wait, what do you mean? So there's a ghost that has just kind of stuck with you?
Yeah, and it's followed me from house to house, and sometimes things have happened at work. So, I mean, whatever this, I believe that not always is it a house that's haunted, but I believe people can be haunted. Something about their energy, something about them.
What does this ghost do?
From the lights turning on and off to the point where it's just humorous. I mean, it wasn't even scary. It was just humorous. It was just up there. It goes again. We had a glass coffee table, very very much like what you have here. My wife and I were at the time sitting down just playing a game of cards on the floor, and just a loud explosion. The next thing we know, we're completely covered in glass. Our coffee table exploded. We would watch actually on our radio. You could actually watch the knob on the radio turn as the radio would continue to crank as loud as it would go. No remote control anywhere nearby, and you could literally sit and watch the knob turn in this. Now, I've never done an investigation of my own home. I don't want to know what's in my house.
Really?
I'm perfectly fine thinking that it's my grandfather.
Okay.
And I warn people, you know, if we come in and we catch something and we catch these voices, are you really prepared? Can you go to sleep at night knowing what these voices say? Because some of them are very edgy. I mean, we've caught some that are cussing and some that are yelling. Most of them tend to be pretty peaceful, and they're just responding to what we're talking about. But whatever we catch is absolutely real. I can't tell you if they're ghosts of dead people, angels, spirits, demons. I don't know what they are, but they're intelligent, and they certainly are trying to communicate with us.
Crazy, right? Listen, I've taken a ton of heat from friends of mine for believing that the place that we were living in previously might have been haunted. And we knew the spirit or spirits because we thought there were more than one. Because it was her aunt and her father. Her aunt actually died in the garage of that house. They were pretty friendly. And I know, look, there's always got to be a scientific explanation for why things do things. Or maybe you just forgot. You thought it was closed, but it wasn't really. You thought you turned the light off, but you really didn't. And I'm not crazy. Listen, I would never, ever make stuff like this up because it freaks me out too. And the things that would happen in this house, they would never do anything horrible or super frightening. Just like the guy said, you know, they just want you to know that they're there for whatever reason. But it freaked the shit out of me the first time that happened. The first time we had something like a light came on. And I go, I knew I closed it. We went to bed. We wouldn't leave a light on in the kitchen. I go, why is that light on? Then, you know, it was a couple of years later, I talked to a paranormal scientist about this. And I described to him what was going on. He told me, look, here's what they're probably doing. And here's how to handle it if it's really starting to freak you out. You know, the lights, the light thing really wasn't horrible because, like I said, I might have forgotten to turn it off. Low chance that that happened, but I'm pretty sure I turned it off, but maybe I left it on. Okay, that I can't prove anything. But the story about the shower door opening when I knew I just closed it wasn't anything huge either until it happened after I purposely closed it to see if it would reopen. You remember, I told this story last year. I don't want to have to retell it. But in the bathroom that we had, there was a bathtub with a shower, and it had a big sliding door on it. And then right across from that was a standing shower that you just walked into. And that's what we used. But this window, this door, the sliding door, it was kind of, you know, heavy and old. It was always open. And I didn't like it being open because I didn't want to look inside that tub because the tub was just kind of, I don't know, the paint was peeling. We didn't, you know, get a chance to finish it yet because we just moved in. So I kept closing it. And one day, it was open again. I closed it and I said, I just closed that door. I went back in the shower. I took my shower. I opened the shower to get my towel and that door was open. And there was no one else home. And there was no way that thing could have opened itself. That didn't freak me out either. But it was the day I opened the door to put our patio area out in this general patio area from our living room. Katrina said they used to smoke there. And the cigarette smoke was so heavy that you couldn't breathe. And there wasn't anyone smoking out there. The neighbors on both sides of us weren't even home. And that was when I started to freak out because I walked the entire perimeter of our house. Both sides, the front, everything. You couldn't smell cigarette smoke anywhere. But just as I approached that patio area, there it was. Thick, almost made me gag. And you couldn't see smoke, you could smell it. That was the night I was almost sure that there was something going on. And the cigarette smoke wasn't coming, you know, it wasn't something I was going to tolerate. It wasn't like, you know, a knock on the door. So following this guy's advice, I stood in the middle of the room the next day. There was no one else home. And I said out loud, dead silence, I told him, look, I know you're here. I know why you're here. I don't have a problem with you being here. But if you're trying to send us a sign, we get it. Now, please stop sending us the signs because I'm having a hard time sleeping. Just tell them, we know you're here. We get it. Stop it. Be here, but be silent, please. What was even more unsettling for me was that I knew her aunt had passed away in the garage of that house because that's where he found her. She was getting out of her car. She had a heart attack, dropped dead right on the floor of that garage. And it wasn't 2 years, almost to the date, that this happened. I was alone one night. Katrina was at some creative memories thing with her girlfriends. And I heard the garage door open. There was a garage door opener in there. And I thought Katrina came home. Then I remembered we didn't have a remote control for that garage door opener. You had to open it on the wall. There was a switch. I ran outside. I looked at the garage door. Sure enough, light was on in the garage. The door was open. I stood in the driveway and I stared right into the garage. I wondered how in the hell did that thing open? Only way you can open it is by pressing that button on the wall near the door that led to our kitchen. And I swear to you, again, I'm not making this up. We had friends living next door at the time. And I went over there and I got him to look at it with me. And I wasn't making this up because I looked at the switch and he looked at it and seemed to be working all right. We thought, okay, maybe a plane flew overhead and was using the same frequency as my garage door opener. Or maybe it opened it. Or maybe someone down the street accidentally opened it. And I said, really? How come this hasn't happened before? And why didn't theirs open? And isn't it a coincidence that it happened almost to the date of the day she died right in that garage? He says, keep drinking. We never found out how that happened, and it didn't happen again. Okay, time for another movie clip for this year's contest.
Look, I'm only against the possibility of doing your daughter more harm than good.
Nothing you could do could make it any worse.
I can't do it. I need evidence that the church would accept as signs of possession.
Like what?
Like her speaking in a language she's never known or studied.
What else?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
I thought you were supposed to be an expert.
There are no experts. You probably know as much about possession as most priests. Look, your daughter doesn't say she's a demon. She says she's the devil himself. Now, if you've seen as many psychotics as I have, you'd realize that's the same thing as saying you're Napoleon Bonaparte. You ask me what I think is best for your daughter.
I'm telling you that that thing upstairs isn't my daughter. Now, I want you to tell me that you know for a fact that there's nothing wrong with my daughter except in her mind. You tell me you know for a fact that an exorcism wouldn't do any good. You tell me that!
Jesus, fuck you! Fuck you!
Do you know what she did? Your canting daughter!
Look, I don't want you guys to think I'm like Looney Tunes or anything, all right? And I'm being serious. I'm not making this stuff up. But I can't explain these things, and I don't know what the hell they are. I can't explain that even now, in this house that we're living in, some really odd noise comes from our laminate flooring. We're on a slab. It sounds like footsteps. You know, when Clark comes bounding off the steps from the from the stairs to the living room floor, it makes this sound with his, you know, paws hitting the floor. You can hear it. It'll happen right in front of me sometimes, in the kitchen or wherever I am. And you'll usually only hear it during the day and almost always when it's super quiet. The first few times it happened, I thought it was Clark. But I go check in the front room and he wasn't there. I check upstairs, there he is sleeping. I didn't think anything of it until it started happening right in front of me. So I told Katrina, she figured it was pipes or something. Then she heard it one day. Still don't know what it is. Now think about it. And I'm just saying, what if? That ghost hunter said that sometimes ghosts will follow you for whatever reason. Maybe that ghost is following us. Who knows? I have no clue. I only know it hasn't done anything else other than make footsteps, and I hope that's all it does. All right, look, enough ghost talk. Let's play another clip for the contest. Pay attention here. Remember the rules.
Well, let me put it this way. Good and evil are so close as to be chained together in the soul. Now, suppose we could break that chain, separate those two selves, free the good in man and let it go on to its higher destiny, and segregate the bad.
But aren't you a bit presumptuous in assuming that there's evil in all men?
Oh, but isn't that true?
Suppose we believe that man's soul has not yet reached its fulfillment. Is it wise? Is it right to tamper with the problem until the Creator himself has solved it in his own mysterious way?
Sir, I... Really, Jekyll, this is very disturbing. Such theories come dangerously close to... I hesitate to think what the medical council would be forced to say.
Dr. Cortland, advanced theories are always a sore point with the medical council, or even with a Queen's physician, especially if there's a comfortable profit in those already established.
Jekyll,
if you ask my opinion, young man, this is pure balderdash.
My area of expertise is dealing with ghosts. That's what I built my career around, helping people get in touch with people who have died, communicating with ghosts, the spirits of dead human beings. A demon is something different. That's an entity that relates to something that is non-human.
Okay.
A lot of debate, a lot of discussion about what that could be, but it's not a person. Okay? Dealing with demons is not my area. I'm very uncomfortable with it. And I'll tell you, quite frankly, I sense that there's something going on in this house. You cannot run from this. It will follow you. It may lay dormant for years. Something may trigger it to become more active, and it will, over time, reach out to communicate with you.
Hey everybody, welcome back to My Life as a Foodie. Got a great show for you guys today. It's our annual Halloween episode. Things aren't going well at the moment though. I had a bunch of audio clips that I wanted to play for you, which was going to play along with the episode, but when I went to retrieve them from the folder that I had on my network here, they were all gone. And I don't know what the hell happened to them. They were all there last night when I finished my show prep, so I don't know what's happening. It's weird. Anyway, this is my favorite show of the year to produce, and I know a lot of you look forward to it each year. Halloween's my all-time favorite holiday. I love to be scared, and I love scaring the shit out of people, especially kids. On Halloween night, I'll dress up as a monster and chase kids around the street, and it's a lot of fun. And I'm not too old for that either. Last year's episode was really good. It was crazy fun. Everyone loved it. I had Miss Horror Fest on for an interview and had a decent contest, although there was a serious snag with our giveaway. But we got things ironed out at the end of that. So this is a tradition on My Life as a Foodie for Halloween. We'll have a contest, and this year it will center around clips from horror movies. All right, but this year's contest is going to have a different twist to it. It's not about the name of the movie so much as it is more about the characters of the movie. Before we get into the rules of the contest, I'll tell you what you're playing for. We have a promotional DVD copy of Skinwalkers, courtesy of Lionsgate Films, as well as your own pet ghost, which you're going to grow yourself. It's a 2-inch long shrunken ghost that you place in a glass of water, and you watch it grow. Every day it grows a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. And it grows about 600 times its size within a week. So if you haven't seen or heard of Skinwalkers, it's a very independent film that came out a few years ago. And it's about werewolves. Two packs of werewolves remain on Earth. One lives to hunt and kill. The other lives in peace with society. Both are suddenly signaled by the moon of the coming of an ancient prophecy. So a boy, who's half human and half wolf, will control the destiny of the species, triggering an all-out war between the two packs of werewolves. The movie contains violence, lots of blood, lots of language, and some sexual material. Now, you give me a movie that has guns, cursing, blood, and some skin, and you can just pass the popcorn. I'm in. So here's how the game's going to work. I'm going to play audio from different horror movies. Each movie's main character has a distinct country of origin. I want you not only to tell me the name of the movie, I want you to tell me the country that the movie is set in. Then give me a traditional dish from that country that you think would be fitting for that movie or the character. Okay, you can be as creative as you like in naming the dish if you want to pump it up a little bit. You can email your answers to phil@mylifeasafoodie.com. I'll send the DVD to you and your own little grow your own ghost that I have ready to ship immediately. I've got it right here in a package. I'll put your address on it, and I'll ship it out like tomorrow. So you'll have it in plenty of time to enjoy it for Halloween. So you've already gotten your first clue. All right, so you should know this one already. The first clue is the movie that I spoofed in the opening that you just heard. Name the movie, the country of origin, the country, not the region the main character is from, if you know what I'm talking about, okay? You can Google or Wikipedia your ass off on this. It's part of the game anyway. We're basically looking to enrich ourselves in learning more about food culture internationally. So this is a good exercise for us. And they don't have to be in order because they're all kind of different. There's a handful. Okay, so last year, I played the trailer for the Paula Deen horror movie Widowmaker. You guys remember that, right? She made that disgusting hamburger. She used a Krispy Kreme donut as the bun. She had a slice of cheese, a fried egg. She topped it with bacon. It was just nasty. Well, it must have caught on, because at some food fair out in the Midwest, these people actually tried to copy it, but did a horrible job.
What we have is a Krispy Kreme cheeseburger. We lightly cut it in half, and then I'm going to go ahead and put a burger on top. It's a beef burger, and our home-cut cheddar cheese. And we do not recommend you put condiments on it. We go ahead and we close that up, and there you have your machine shed Krispy Kreme cheeseburger. Great combination.
So where, ketchup or mustard might ruin it.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, I wouldn't do it. It kind of compromises the taste.
Seriously, now, if you're going to mimic that brutal creation of Paula Deen's, wouldn't you at least try to riff on it a little bit? Try a little harder? And this showed zero effort. If you saw this thing, they took a donut, they cut it in half, they put a cold grilled beef patty on it, and a cold slice of cheese, and closed it up. The cheese didn't even melt on the burger. And that was it. No frills. Worst looking sandwich of all time. And, I like how she says, don't put condiments on it because it ruins the flavor. Really? This thing has flavor? Give me a break, man. It's nasty. Ugh. I can't stand when people don't try. At least try to take a different approach to this sandwich. And don't tell me you didn't realize that Paula Deen made that sandwich before either, because it was all around the place. I mean, a couple of years ago, this thing surfaced. You didn't make this thing up. Oh, and I guess they're following up on Widowmaker, too, because there's a new movie being released this week. Maybe you caught the trailer already.
Last year, Hell on Earth was released when The Widowmaker hit theaters, and a certain calm came over the Earth once it was gone. But the real horror has only just begun, when 15,000 unsuspecting Anthony Bourdain fans fill a college auditorium. The doors suddenly lock themselves, and they stand in horror as their hero never shows, instead being forced to suffer through 3 hours of stand-up comedy by none other than Paula Deen.
You know, whether this cake is better than sex, y'all. Oh, I wish I could tell y'all this joke. Okay. It reminds me of the better than sex cake. But you know, it really depends on how old you are. If you're 20 years old and that cake is better than sex, there's something bad wrong. But now if you're 60, that cake is probably better.
This Halloween, Paula Dean returns in the Comedyville Horror. Don't go to the theater alone, y'all.
Okay, you ready? Time for another contest clip.
The strange incense.
Is it not familiar to you?
No.
Our forefathers used it. Yours and mine. You will not remember what I show you now. And yet I shall awaken memories of love and crime and death.
It was not only this body that I loved, it was thy soul. I destroy this lifeless thing. Thou shalt take its place but for a few moments, and then rise again even as I have risen.
Your father destroyed the scroll knowing that it would cost him his life. Isis, the Egyptian symbol of life. I meant it for your father.
What good could that old charm have done him? I tell you, the doctors say it's a plain case of heart failure.
The Nubian is missing.
He's an old servant. He's frightened. He'll be back.
Name the movie, the place of origin from the creature, monster, or main character, and a national dish from that country. Bonus points if you give the dish a name that's in line with Halloween.
Ribeyes, pork butt sandwiches.
There's always the traditional dishes that draw a crowd. But it's the strange and weird foods that make yearly headlines, and the 89th Annual Fall Festival is no different.
Lemon shakers!
Top of this year's weird list is at the Haughty Air Patrol booth, number 120.
It's corn dogs, turkey testicles.
And yes, you heard that right.
These are turkey testicles.
Definitely want to try that.
I think they taste a little like chicken.
Turkey testicles aren't a new thing.
A lot of jokes and a lot of people want to try them.
They have been on the menu at other festivals across the country.
Thank you. All right.
A little known fact is that turkey testicles are found under the bird's left wing instead of behind their legs.
Well, turkey testicles are about the same size as a human's testicle, only slightly larger. A lot of folks here have them deep fried, and some people put hot sauce on them. I'm taking it all natural.
Yeah, these are pretty good.
That's good, babe.
Everybody's got to try these. These are good.
The new items may not sound like a delicacy to some.
Come on, it tastes like a chicken breast.
I think they're crazy.
But it was to others.
I need some turkey testicles.
We are out at the moment, actually.
The members of the Haughty Air Patrol had a difficult time keeping up with demand.
We got turkey nuts.
They know our testicles, please.
But perhaps tantalizing taste buds, turkey testicle style, makes for the best fall festival bizarre food story.
Turkey testicles.
And it won't be one that's soon forgotten by those strong enough to stomach them, or the spectators that watch.
If I didn't know better, I'd think that was from, like, The Onion or something. What was bizarre about this is that it's supposedly an Arabian food stand, but all the guys working it were like cold-blooded Southern dudes. Go figure. And how funny would it be to see turkey nuts on the Thanksgiving dinner table? I love it when they're all being so proper through this whole report, calling them testicles and trying to be, you know, I don't know, proper. And this dude comes up and goes, hey, I got more turkey nuts. Damn it, what is that? What is that? What's going on here? Get off my screen. Dude, I swear to you, I can't explain this. It's happening. What is that, dude? Every time I haven't told you this story yet because I was saving it for Halloween, but I should probably share it with you now because this is getting crazy. Say, guy, this is starting to freak me out, man. All right, this is getting too weird. Space Ship.
please.
Yes, he's out of the country. He'll be back.
We need your help.
This is overpowering.
It's getting worse.
Yes, it certainly doesn't like that I'm here, and I cannot help you.
What?
In fact, I've got to get out of here. This thing is very aggravated, the fact that I'm here.
Wait, everybody calm down. We need your help.
Well, I've got to tell you, I am not the person to help you in this situation. This is not my area of expertise. I think I'm doing more harm being here than any good. Yes, I really have got to leave.